Be careful, don't touch that because it can mute it if you touch that. So then just push it again and turn.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. O Lord, you have searched us and known us. You know when we sit down and when we rise up. You discern our thoughts from far away. You search out our paths and our lying down, and are acquainted with all our ways. Even before a word is on our tongues, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem us in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon us. Such knowledge is too wonderful for us. It is so high that we cannot attain it. Where can we go from your spirit? Or where can we flee from your presence? Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Test us and know our thoughts. See if there are any wicked ways in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen. Good morning, University Mennonite. Welcome to our service this morning. Today's a special day for our church. For not quite a year, we've been without formal pastoral leadership. And in the last couple weeks, it's been our great pleasure to welcome Kate into our midst and begin the process of making State College her home. Later in October, we'll celebrate with a formal installation service for Kate. But I think Kate would be the first to admit that she's ready to roll up her sleeves. And she's planned a fall series of messages with a focus on the questions of Jesus. And we'll begin that quest with questions with Kate today. As we've done on most Sundays since the beginning of the first Gulf War, and it's sad that we have to say that there's more than one, we've lit this peace lamp to recognize the brokenness in our world and our desire and our prayers for healing and restoration. I also think that the candle can represent within our individual lives and within our church our desire for healing and restoration of relationships. And so I would offer today that we think about this candle in multiple ways, both worldly, across the planet, and within our own lives, as we light this candle. And with that, Evelyn will lead us in a couple of hymns.
Thank you. number 26.
Each week we seek to know those who are new amongst us, visitors, return visitors, new visitors. There'll be a microphone on each side of the auditorium, and if we have visitors, please, your host will know what to do to introduce you. Or if you're here on your own, please feel free to stand and identify yourself. Do we have visitors today? First on this side. About this side, over here. I think most people I see I know. Very good. Welcome. Mike Robinson is going to share a children's time with us today, and by way of preview, I can tell you that if you're of a certain age, that you'll recognize this story. Mike?
Yeah, this morning you were looking for a Lathia's doll, okay. Can anybody else think of things that you might look for?
My cat.
Your cat. Does he get lost sometimes? Yeah? Anybody else? Yeah, so you go and look for these different things like a Lathia's doll or your cat or maybe something else that you can't find. Now, can you think of a time when you were looking for something, but you didn't quite know what you were looking for? Can you think of anything? What do you think, Lily? You were bored, yeah, and you were kind of looking, maybe looking for something to do, but you didn't really know what. Yeah. Can anybody else think of something? When you're looking for something, but you don't even really know what you're looking for. All right. Well, Mike has a story to share of a time when a little bird was looking for something.
All right. Welcome, everybody. If you want to move closer, then you'll be able to see the pictures. If you want to stay where you are, you can, too. Do any of you know this story already? Are you my mother? All right, a couple ones. Well, don't spoil the surprise at the end. So this is Are You My Mother by P.D. Eastman. It starts out and says, a mother bird sat on her egg. The egg jumped. Oh, oh, said the mother bird. My baby bird will be here. He will want to eat. I must get something for my baby bird to eat, she said. I will be back. And so she went away. The egg jumped. It jumped and jumped and jumped. And out came the baby bird. Psss, pieces of shell going everywhere. Where's my mother? He said. He looked for her. He looked up. He did not see her. He looked down. He did not see her. I will go and look for her, he said. And so away he went. Down out of the tree he went. Down, down, down. It was a long way down. The baby bird could not fly. He could not fly, but he could walk. Now I will go and find my mother, he said. He did not know what his mother looked like. He went right by her. He did not see her. He came to a kitten. Are you my mother? He said to the kitten. Any guesses, is the kitten his mother?
No.
No. Kitten's not his mother. The kitten just looked and looked. It did not say a thing. The kitten was not his mother. So he went on. Then he came to a hen. Are you my mother? He said to the hen. No, said the hen. The kitten was not his mother. The hen was not his mother. So the baby bird went on. I have to find my mother, he said. But where? Where is she? Where could she be? Then he came to a dog. Are you my mother? He said to the dog. I am not your mother. I am a dog, said the dog. Sensible. The kitten was not his mother. The hen was not his mother. The dog was not his mother. So the baby bird went on. Now he came to a cow. Are you my mother? He said to the cow. How could I be your mother? Said the cow. I am a cow. Starting to see how this works. The kitten and the hen were not his mother. The dog and the cow were not his mother. Did he have a mother?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Very confident. I'm going to talk to you later about how this works. All right. I did have a mother, said the baby bird. I know I did. I have to find her. I will. I will. And now the baby bird did not walk. He ran. Then he saw a car. Could that old thing be his mother? No. No, it could not. The baby bird did not stop. He ran on and on. Now he looked way, way down. He saw a boat. There she is, said the baby bird. He called out to the boat. But the boat did not stop. The boat went on. He looked way, way up, and he saw a big plane. Here I am, mother, he called out. But the plane did not stop. The plane went on. This is getting rough. Just then the baby bird saw a big thing. This must be his mother. There she is, he said. There is my mother. He ran right up to it. Mother! Mother! Here I am, mother, he said to the big thing. But the big thing just said, snort. Oh, you are not my mother, said the baby bird. You are a snort. I have to get out of here. But the baby bird could not get away. The snort went up. It went way, way up. And up and up and up went the baby bird. But now, where was the snort going? Oh, 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 what is this snort going to do with me? Get me out of here. Just then, the snort came to a stop. "Where am I?" said the baby bird. "I want to go home. I want my mother." What did happen next? Then something happened. The snort put the baby bird right back in the tree. The baby bird was home. Just then, the mother bird came back to the tree. "Do you know who I am?" she said to her baby. "Yes, I know who you are," said the baby bird. "You are not a kitten. You are not a hen. You are not a dog. You are not a cow. You are not a boat, a plane, or a snort. You are a bird, and you are my mother." So I'd like you to remember this story. This is actually, I think this story contains everything we talk to you about in church in symbolic form. So you can think of this a little bit as a parable. Everything's in here. There's sin, grace, predestination, and redemption, all right here in P.D. Eastman's Are You My Mother? All right, let me pray for you guys before we send you off. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have not left us alone in this world to wander about and to search for you, for we know that you are not far from any of us. And we pray that you would draw us to yourselves, and we pray that you would be with these children, and we commit them into your care. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Who knew how deep children's time stories are? Thanks, Mike and Gabrielle. Mike Bratt will share our offertory as Sue and Nell collect the offering.
In the rifted rock I'm resting, safely sheltered, I abide. There are no foes or storms molest me, while within this cleft I hide. Long pursued by that sinful Satan, weary, sad, ah, how I long for rest. Then I found, yes, I found this heavenly shelter here within my Savior's breast. Now I'm resting, Lord, I'm sweetly resting in that cleft you once made for me. Jesus, blessed Rock of Ages, I will hide myself in thee. In this rifted rock I'll hide me till the storms of my life blow past. All secure in this blessed refuge, heeding not the fiercest blast. Now I'm resting, Lord, I'm sweetly resting in that cleft Jesus made for me. Precious Jesus, you Rock of Ages, I will hide myself in thee. I will hide myself in thee.
Let's pause for a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, you have blessed all of us much, much more than we can ever be thankful for. You've given us clothing, food, shelter. You've given us abundance that others on the planet don't have. Remind us daily in the coming weeks as we go about your work on this planet of these blessings. Implore us to continue to give all that we can to support your mission amongst the peoples of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For our scripture reading today, beginning the series of thinking about questions, Kate has asked that I read John chapter 1, verses 35 to 39, the first disciples of Jesus. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was standing, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You'll find in your bulletin today, on the back sheet of the insert, a poem written by Rainer Maria Rilke. Rilke was a poet in the early 20th century, 1900s, and Kate has asked to have this included in the bulletin, and I'll read this poem. It's quite relevant. In fact, it's the subtitle to our series up above, Live the Questions Now. Be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart, trying to love the questions. Do not seek the answers which cannot be given you, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. Kate, we'll share our sermon with us now. What are you looking for? Kate, welcome.
Join me in a prayer as we begin. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And maybe just a full breath in and a full breath out here together. Doing? That's what my oldest nephew, David, would walk around chirping when he was a two-year-old. He'd point his finger and ask in a curious tone, "Doing?" It was his hallmark word, engaging everyone from his parents, aunts and uncles, strangers in the grocery store, even their dog Scooter, who was most likely trying to stay out of the way of that inquisitive whirlwind of energy. A study out of England discovered that children ask around 300 questions a day, with 4-year-old girls being the most curious, topping out at 390 questions a day. That's averaging one question every 1 minute, 56 seconds of their waking day. Bless you, parents of young children. Curiosity is part of our human nature. We learn by observing, and in those early years, asking over and over and over. But studies show by the time we're adults, we tend to ask less than 10 questions a day. Why is that, I wonder? Seems like our children have something to teach us. Jesus doesn't shy away from questions. Like any great rabbi, he teaches using the technique of the question as a way to break open the stony hearts and narrow minds of those listening, inviting us to ponder the meaning of life and the mystery of God. In the Gospels, Jesus is recorded as asking 307 questions, probing, difficult, unanswerable questions. It's a way of showing compassion, I think. He doesn't hit us over the head with answers, but instead invites us to discover for ourselves the truth about God and himself. For the Gospels are filled with stories, actions, parables, miracles, commandments. Jesus seems to have a question for everyone he meets, for every occasion, every experience, for every potential disciple. Jesus looks at his friends and invites them deeper into the mystery of God by means of a probing question. On the flip side, Jesus only directly answers 3 of the 183 questions he himself is asked in the 4 Gospels. More often than not, Jesus either keeps silent, returns with another question, or gives an illustration. This Jesus we meet in the gospel narratives seems to relish the use of questions, more focused on being in relationship with a person than getting specific answers. More interested in being in relationship than getting answers. Jesus' questions are a way of breaking us out of our habitual thinking, our dualistic minds, to present maybe new and creative possibilities. And so, like Doug said, this fall we'll be looking at some of those questions, looking at what they meant to those with whom Jesus interacted, to those the Gospels were written for, and what they have to say to us today. The Questions of Jesus, a book by John Deere, has been the starting point for me of this series. And it's in the introduction of Deere's book that Richard Rohr suggests that Jesus isn't expecting us to have all the answers either. What he seems to be hoping for is to call forth an answering person. This asking questions invites us into a process of transformation where curiosity might just create space for something new. I believe that Jesus invites us to be answering persons, not ones with all the answers. So focusing on the questions of Jesus this fall seemed like a natural place to start, because I have been full of questions. Maybe you don't hear me saying, doing, pointing my finger with an inquisitive look. But you might have had a few questions asked. Everything from the mundane, Joel, how do you set up this answering machine? To quizzing Karen on the typical order of worship. To the questions that might not have an easy answer. Like, what are you looking for in your walk with University Mennonite Church, in your life? As we dive into these texts over the coming weeks, my hope and prayer is that we can let go of the need to have all the answers and instead be willing to live into the questions, to wrestle, struggle, dialogue together, living into the advice that Rilke so beautifully put in that letter. Do not now seek the answers which cannot be given you, but live everything. Live the questions now. And so today we begin with one of my favorite questions, found in the first chapter of the book of John. In this gospel, the first words spoken by Jesus are a question. So, hear the text again. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Where are you staying?" He replied, "Come and see." In this first chapter of the Gospel of John, John the Baptist has been out alongside the Jordan River for days, quarreling with priests and Levites, baptizing common folk, proclaiming that the one who is coming after him is in their midst. It's on the third day of exclaiming that the Lamb of God is among them, that we pick up our story. Finally, after stating, "Look, everybody, here he is. Here's the Lamb of God I've been telling you about," that his disciples finally hear him. They finally hear him. It's like they woke up and paid attention to what John was actually saying. And we're told they followed Jesus. They take off down the road behind him. And this brief exchange happens. "What are you looking for? Where are you staying? Come and see." Andrew and his friend had been following John the Baptist for quite some time, enough that they're called John's disciples, coming most likely to be baptized by John in preparation for the coming of the Messiah, the one who would bring the kingdom of God. What were they looking for? Redemption? The Messiah in their midst? What did they want from the Messiah? Oh, a good story always invites so many more questions than it answers, doesn't it? Maybe those two disciples of John were looking for adventure, for new experiences, maybe to see the world beyond the sleepy little village where they'd spent their lives. Maybe they were looking to make a difference, to be part of a movement to resist the Roman occupation and corrupt leadership of Judea. Maybe they were looking for meaning and purpose in their otherwise aimless lives. The scripture doesn't reveal what they were looking for, but I wonder, might it be possible that they were looking for some of the same things that we, as 21st century churchgoers, seek? We all come looking for something. We all come looking for something. In my first few weeks here, I've heard that some of you come looking for community, for connection with others as a way of deepening connection with God, looking for a place to wrestle with big questions of faith, of parenting, of engaging in the work of the world. Some are looking for a connection with the divine. Some are looking for healing of body or soul or both. Some seek redemption, new life on the other side of mistakes made or opportunities missed. Maybe it's simply a sense of security or belonging you come looking for. or a place to just rest for a moment from the busyness of our lives and catch your breath. A noble reason to show up on a Sunday morning. We come looking for many things. And the world around us, the world is quick to offer solutions to this search. What you need is a bigger house, a better job, things to be different if you do this or do that. But every human solution misses the life for which we were made. Until we recognize that the human heart longs for a life lived in relation to God and God's will, the heart will never find what it's looking for. So how to answer such a question when it's posed to you on the road, on this journey of your life, of our life together? Andrew and his friend offer no answer. They respond with another question. Where are you staying? Also translated as, where do you abide? Early readers of this gospel, those who read it in Greek, might have noticed that this verb to stay, to abide, meno in Greek, is the same term used just a few verses earlier in this chapter to describe the dove-born spirit which descended and remained on Jesus. Meno. It's a key term in the Gospel of John. This expression to stay is used 34 times across the Gospel, indicating not only a relation to physical space, but a connection to spiritual presence as well. It's in chapter 15 that we hear it used again and again, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. This term meno, to abide, has the flavor of not a sporadic relationship between God, Jesus, Spirit, and humanity, but one that stays, that is more permanent, that lasts the test of time and circumstance. Where are you staying, abiding? This question posed by his earlier followers is the beginning of an unfolding of what it means to connect to Jesus in both a day-to-day following as well as a deeply spiritual way. They ask a question in response to Jesus' question. It kind of seems like they were caught off guard. Maybe they don't know exactly what they're looking for. They can't put it into words. But they know they found something of it in this person named Lamb of God. They have a hunch that if they know where he's staying and where he's going, they might just find what they're looking for. Come and see, Jesus invites. And here at the beginning of this gospel, we find Jesus answering a pretty direct question with indirection. It happens again and again in John's gospel, where indirect answers are Jesus' way of issuing an invitation that allows the disciples and even us today to find the answers for themselves, for ourselves. Those disciples come, and do they see? They see miracles, water turned into wine, 5,000 fed with a few loaves and fishes. They see outcasts welcomed by this man, the lame made to walk, the blind to see. They see him wash their feet and speak of betrayal. They see him hang on the cross and on the first day of a new week enter a room filled with scared disciples. Oh, what they see. In the late 1980s, Irish rock group U2 released what would become one of their best-selling songs, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. I'm wondering if right away that puts a tune in your head. Its lyrics speak of that lifelong search that's part of the human condition. The song holds the tension of that elusive quest to find what we're really looking for, with the belief that God's kingdom is present, that it has the potential of being created, maybe already exists in us, through us, around us. The world offers many possibilities, wealth, power, fame, but they all ultimately leave us hollow. They cannot fulfill what the human heart ultimately seeks. In commemoration of September 11th, I heard this story this week, and it touched me in ways I can't quite verbalize, but feel are closely tied to this gospel reading. And I want to share it with you, and I'm curious how it might touch you as well. On September 11th, 2001, Joe Dittmar was visiting New York City from the Chicago suburb of Aurora, Illinois. He worked in the insurance industry and was in an early morning meeting at the World Trade Center up on the 105th floor of the South Tower when the planes crashed. He picks up his story as he's leaving New York sometime later, traveling to Philadelphia so he can rent a car, and driving straight through to Chicago, desperate to get back home. He said, "I was about 10 or 15 minutes away from home, and I called my wife for what was probably the 50th time, and I said to her, 'Hey, I'm almost there.' She said, 'They decided to have a mass at Our Lady of Mercy.' And I stopped her right there in the middle of her sentence. And I said, 'I'll be there. I'll meet you there.'" He goes on, "And I tried to pull into the church parking lot. You would have thought it was Christmas. I mean, it was just packed. And I opened up the back door of that church to see those hundreds of eyes all staring back at me, knowing where I had been. I looked over to the pew to the right where we always sit, and I see my kids, some of my friends, and my wife jumps over the back of the pew, runs to the back of the church, gives me the greatest hug and kiss a man could ever want. She's not that kind of a demonstrative person, but that's what made that moment even more incredible. And I knew at that moment that I was home. Never had a better feeling in my life," he says. Joe, for that moment in time, found what he was looking for, and how beautiful it was. What are you looking for? What are we as a community looking for? Maybe it's not a thing. Perhaps Jesus is simply inviting us to journey with him. Maybe meaning and purpose is found not so much in what we do, but in realizing that whatever we do, we are accompanied by Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus says to each of us, "Come and see." Maybe, just maybe, by God's grace, we'll get glimpses of what we're looking for.
Verse 2 and 3, and then we'll sing it all over again.
so twice. So please stand to sing.
Words, Kate. Your story reminded me of a favorite saying of mine from Jon Kabat-Zinn, who says, "Wherever we are is always here, and in the only moment we ever have, which is always now." I think Joe discovered that. It's time for our announcements prior to our sharing period. We're a busy church. There's a lot of announcements in the bulletin, but if you have an announcement that isn't here, or if you want to emphasize one that is here. Microphones on each side of the auditorium, and we can have that period of sharing of announcements right now.
I'm Monica Weidman, and my school fun run is coming up. If anyone wants to donate some money for my school, can find me after church. All money helps classes go on field trips, get school supplies, and have guest speakers come.
Thank you, Monica.
I just want to remind the women of the church that we have a breakfast planned at Foxdale on Friday, the 21st, which is this coming Friday, at, I think we said 8:30. So please let me know if you can come so I can let the kitchen know. Thanks.
I'm Carolyn Brubaker. Please stop by the art gallery. If you don't know where it is, it's by the elevator. Right now there's only 3 paintings from Camp Hebron. Hopefully we'll have more by next Sunday, because there was at least, 12 that were done at Camp Hebron. They're beautiful, and it was directed by Leah Lumeo.
Okay. I'm Karen Rath, and just because we have a congregational meeting right after the worship service, I want to ask everyone to get your coffee and tea right away and come back so that we can start promptly at 11.
Other announcements? Okay. Kate will lead us in our sharing time and closing.
You can find your seats, and I invite you to continue standing. As we prepare to go out in the world this week, let us be blessed. As you go forth into the world, may each of you be patient toward all that is unsolved in your hearts. May you love and live into the spaciousness of big, faith-filled questions, allowing the work of the Spirit to lead you to find what your heart truly seeks. Go as a people invited to come, to see, to live into the mystery of the risen one. Amen. Please remain standing for the sending song.
Please turn in your blue books to number 226. You are salt for the earth.
Thank you.